There's nothing like big water fishing, and July and August are a great time of year to get out. Finding trout and salmon in big bodies of water like Lake Ontario would be like finding a needle in a haystack if it weren't for modern technology lending a helping hand. How do you become a hunting celebrity? Do you have a skill, a gift, or ideal that you can share? Maybe that's a start. There's been a lot of talk about Asian carp lately, but are some carp worse than others? And what is being done to keep them out of our Great Lakes?
Yamaha Canada proudly presents the Angler and Hunter Radio Show, the voice of anglers and hunters. On today's show,
Ole Perun from Sail Outdoors in Oshawa tells us what we need to get started big lake fishing. I talk to hunting celebrity Donnie Vincent about what inspired him to take his successful career path. The Asian Carp Crew and an Asian Carp competition help keep our Great Lakes safe. Plus, the Ozuri Outdoor Quiz, MNRF News, and more on today's Angler and Hunter Radio.
No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge, pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and only through this limited time offer. A Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna, a Coast LED headlamp, Fish Crisp Original, and a Team OFAH camouflage fishing bag with zippered pockets and three tackle boxes. Join or renew with this incredible OFAH membership package for only $69.95. Care enough to join today.
Visit OFAH.org.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com. Or give them a call, toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
With over 130 years of knife-making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Kaster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876 and utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They prove themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus knives stay sharper, longer.
Invasive species are one of the greatest threats to the health of Ontario's ecosystems. The Invading Species Awareness Program provides outreach, education, and an avenue for the public to report sightings of invasive species through the Invading Species Hotline. To report an invasive species or to learn more about the program, call us at 1-800-563-7711. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
Matsuo America, the brand of fishing tackle that provides tournament-quality gear at a great value, has launched a groundbreaking new series of rod and reel combos called the Red Series. These great new combos feature IM6 graphite rods, Fuji guides, six ball-bearing reels with anti-reverse, and cork-split grip handles. It's a set of features you'd expect to see on a combo at twice the price. The Matsuo Red Series is available now only at Canadian Tire. Check it out today and upgrade your gear for this fishing season without breaking the bank.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Fishing Corner is brought to you by CUDA. Fierce. Tough. Proven.
Long before Angler and Hunter Radio, copper, steel, and lead core line were used to get down deep to where the big ones live. In fact, it's still used today. But modern-day developments such as downriggers, divers, planers, fish finders, and GPS mapping have changed the game.
So I'm at Sail Outdoors with Ole Perun, and we're looking at getting ready for some downrigger fishing on Lake Ontario or any big water. July and August is when those fish go deep. Obviously, a crankbait maybe goes 10 or 15 feet, but when you got to get down 80, 90, 100 feet, you need some tools. So starting off with downriggers, Ole, what can you tell us about these things? How do they work? Just the 1A simple lowdown on downrigger fishing.
So downriggering fishing, you're going to get, like, as you said, your bait down. How to get your bait down to the strike zone, which could be down 60, 80 feet. We're going to use either a manual or an electric downrigger, which would hold either one or two downrigger rods loaded up. And you'll need a 8 to 10 or 12 pound cannonball of some sort of lead weight to get your bait down to the desired depth.
Okay, so we've got, I can see here, I like the price of the manual ones. But we have electric ones that will obviously work off a boat battery. They have an 8 or a 10 pound cannonball that brings your line down. Now, your light action fishing rod, how does that work? As obviously a rod holder here, how does that work with the downrigger?
Hook up your your lure to the there'll be a clip on the back end of your cannonball. You wrap your line into that clip and lower it down, and carefully lower it down to the strike zone, dragging probably your lure, I'm guessing, 5 to 10 feet behind the cannonball, possibly if you're Lake Ontario, with a flasher in front of it as an attractor, and possibly a fly or a spoon dragging behind the flasher as a bait for the fish to hit.
Okay, so obviously they have these line counters.
Yes.
I'm guessing that I'm going to look at my fish finder, which we'll talk about in a minute, where I'm going to see that it's maybe 200 or 300 feet deep. The fish are down 60 feet. I drop the cannonball electrically or manually down to that level where the fish are. My line is attached to it, and it comes off and is free to go, and you can just play your fish with your regular light action rod.
Absolutely. And then on the electrics, you'll hit a button that will raise your cannonball back up. It will retrieve the line, your downrigger line, and your cannonball, and bring it up to the surface of the water, where it should drag a little bit in the water for so it doesn't bang the side of your boat. Or you'll have a helper, hopefully, in the boat that will manually crank the manual one back up. And if you're down 60 feet, sometimes the larger diameter spool will be easier to crank or less cranking than the shorter, the smaller diameter spool.
Right. So you've got me sold on the electric one already. So there's the cannonballs, which are your heavyweights. Let's move on to fish finders. Let's go look at those. Let's talk about fish finders. Okay, so nowadays, we've got all kinds of stuff here. So nowadays, things have changed. We have GPS now, global positioning systems, and these systems actually convey a map on a screen, show you where your boat is. I have a little bit of background in this stuff. And that's handy because we were looking at a Humminbird Helix 9 here. And it's on some sort of a simulator mode, so we can see where we're going to mark the fish and the map. So we're out on Lake Ontario, we're out on Halls Lake in Minden, we're on Lake Simcoe, wherever we are. We mark some fish, and we can waypoint where our boat is. So I guess, if you were to throw a marble out into the middle of Lake Ontario, you'd never find it, but if you had a waypoint, you could. How does that all work, Ole?
Well, you want to be safe on the water, so your Navionics or Lake Master's information chip would tell you where you are on the water, show you the boat markings or the marker buoys for safe travel in the certain areas of water. It'll also show you your depths. If you have a chip in here, it will show you the depths of the geology underneath the water.
Like so you map can, overlay, yeah.
So you know where the contours of that you're fishing, whether you want to be in 12 feet or 20 feet or 30 feet. And then the fish finder on the one side will show you drop-offs. It'll show you weed beds. It'll show you little fish, then schools of fish that you're looking for. They will be live, and anything you've seen that's on the screen is usually your history that you've gone past as you're boating along.
So that's pretty neat. That's a 9-inch screen, which I can read nicely. You know what? when I was working in retail, they were paper, and they had a little scriber on them that used a paper roll. Now it's all obviously liquid crystal and very, very easy to see even in the sunlight. So quite simply, use this. We locate the fish. We can store those waypoints in the unit so that we can return to those areas to try and fish again. Pretty simple and straightforward, and they obviously range from what? 150 to sky's the limit.
Sky's the limit. You request this one is $900, right, for a Helix 9. And the 12 is probably about 13.
So the bigger the screen, the more...
$2,900 for a Helix 12.
So the weaker my eyes get, the more it's going to cost me, right?
That's it. They also have down imaging, side imaging, other features that are applications on your fish finder so that you can actually, with the chirp technology now, you can see more detail,
right,
of whether it's on the sonar, you'll just see a blurb of maybe what a weed, but with chirp technology and down vision, you'll actually be able to see the definition of the tree or the shrub that you're actually going over.
Pretty cool stuff.
Very nice.
Pretty cool stuff. And now with 360 imaging and some of the new units, they claim you can actually see the fish swimming around.
That would be awesome. I haven't tried it myself, but that would be awesome.
I talked to somebody at a tournament that I recently fished, and he said I could see the fish on my 360, but they would not bite. So I guess what we're saying is technology can lead you right to the threshold, but if you ain't got the skill, it ain't going to happen.
Absolutely. Well, it's all out there, buddy. It's all out there.
More from Olay at Sail Outdoors and Big Water Fishing after this.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Outdoor Quiz is brought to you by Yozuri. Fish the best.
Can you legally purchase taxidermy mounts of fish? We'll have the answer when we return after these important messages.
No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge, pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and only through this limited time offer. A Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna. A Coast LED headlamp, Fish Crisp Original, and a Team OFAH camouflage fishing bag with zippered pockets and three tackle boxes. Join or renew with this incredible OFAH membership package for only $69.95. Care enough to join today.
Visit OFAH.org. Did you know four species of invasive fish known as Asian carps are threatening to invade the Great Lakes? These fish have the potential to devour the food sources and habitat our native fish depend on and negatively impact our ability to enjoy our lakes and rivers. Help prevent the introduction of Asian carps. Report sightings to the Invading Species Hotline at 1-800-563-7711 or visit invadingspecies.com. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com. Or give them a call, toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
With over 130 years of knife-making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Kaster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876 and utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They prove themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus Knives. Stay sharper, longer.
Matsuo America, the brand of fishing tackle that provides tournament-quality gear at a great value, has launched a groundbreaking new series of rod and reel combos called the Red Series. These great new combos feature IM6 graphite rods, Fuji guides, six ball-bearing reels with anti-reverse, and cork-split grip handles. It's a set of features you'd expect to see on a combo at twice the price. The Matsuo Red Series is available now only at Canadian Tire. Check it out today and upgrade your gear for this fishing season without breaking the bank.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Outdoor Quiz is brought to you by Yozuri. Fish the best.
Can you legally purchase taxidermy mounts of fish? It is illegal to sell or buy any recreational caught fish or taxidermy mounts. This includes crayfish, leeches, frogs, fish eggs, or spawn. Only holders of a commercial fishing or bait license may sell their catch.
You're listening to My Chat with Ole Perun at Sail Outdoors in Oshawa on equipment for big water fishing.
So I guess back years and years ago, spoons were popular. Obviously, they still are. Have you noticed any changes? It looks like some of them are a little more different types of color combinations, a little more fancy, but they look about the same as they did 30 years ago.
Some of the new ones have a UV finish on them, so that when the sunlight hits them, they brighten up a little bit better. A lot of them have glow-in-the-dark phosphorescent paint on the back of them. Mm-hmm. So when you're getting into deeper water, you've got a little bit of a greenish glow that the fish will be able to spot the lure a little bit easier than just waiting for that vibration and shimmer.
Very nice. So still got the spoon, still have the flies here, but they have that UV, which is obviously a new advancement. Now, a fly being dragged through the water has virtually no action, but we can impart an action on it. And you had alluded to it earlier with these
spin doctors.
So these are an actual, I guess there's a dodger, but these maybe do a slow spin in the water?
It's a flasher spinner, absolutely, and they give the fly or the spoon an erratic action as they're going through. They have little fins on the side, which will not let them, like a small keel, which will just force them to do a rotating pattern as they're being dragged behind your downrigger ball.
So there's different things that we can do with these. They're obviously going to impart some action on the fly. Or you could also use a spoon behind them if that was something that you wanted to try.
Absolutely. It's just an attractor, Randy. And so as the hot spot, the agitators, where it's just a flash in the water. It's just it's a big neon sign underwater that says, hey, come on over here. I got some food for you. And it's an attractor. They just bring them over in closer and give them a reason to turn and look.
Very, very interesting. So we've talked about downriggers, which are obviously, you know, $250 and up. Then we've talked about the actual fish finders. Yeah, we can get something for around 150, but, you know, we can spend a couple of thousand. I guess, like you say, the sky's the limit. Fishing rods and reels, we want to stick with the downrigger-type rods, I suppose, and the level line reels. I guess it's important to have that line counter.
It helps immensely to know if you're, again, you have to find where the schools of bait fish are and the thermocline, so that's where the fish will be. And then if you find that range, now you know exactly how far down to troll your bait. And okay, that gets your downrigger ball down there.
So if I wanted to buy one of these outfits, so a downrigger rod and a level wind reel with a with a counter on it, what kind of money would we be looking?
You could probably, a good rod, probably $150, and a reel in the probably this $90 to $120 range.
You're looking at $250, $300.
Get started.
If we get the rod and reel and we don't have an extra $2,000 or $3,000 kicking around for downriggers and hardware, we have this, the Dipsy Diver. And for you listeners who are not familiar with Dipsy Divers, go on YouTube and look at the fish that these things catch. Can you explain to the listeners what a Dipsy Diver is, how it works? There's some big ones, little ones. What do they do?
Well, the Dipsy Diver is just a round circular disc that has a barrel swivel in the back and a barrel swivel at the front of it. It just, the water that it runs against will force it to go down. It pulls your bait down to whatever depth you want. There is a chart in every package that tells you how much line you would have to have out to get to a certain depth. And the front barrel swivel is on a tether, sort of like a little so that when the fish strikes, the wire will come forward and change the plane and comes directly up towards your rod.
So you can put this right on your fishing line.
Absolutely.
And now, how do we know how deep it's going?
Again, you have to follow the chart that tells
so
you.
The chart here, right?
Will tell you how many feet of line to let out to go to a desired depth.
So that's where the line counter on that reel
would help, absolutely.
So if I wanted, for instance, to go into the salmon derby on
yes,
Lake
sir.
Ontario, I could buy one of these rods and reels, take my boat out. These Dipsy divers are a mere 13 to 15, well, I
yep.
guess a big one's $15, whatever size,
yep.
and a $150 fish finder, and I'm out there. I'm
yep,
fishing.
You're ready to go?
You'd want a rod holder because I imagine your rod will really bend
over. Well, there's a lot of pressure on your rod, and that's absolutely, the rod holder will be very important because you'll be tired.
Really?
Very quickly holding on to that. There's a lot of pressure on there.
So if you want to get out for the salmon on Lake Ontario, if you want to catch some lake trout in your local lake in the summertime when they're down deep, there's a range here, 400 to 5,000.
Sky's the limit.
I guess you want the boat or whatever. But Olay down at Sail Outdoors appears to have everything you need. Thank you so much for giving us a little insight into deep water fishing, Olay.
See you on the water.
A top North American hunting personality when we return after these important words.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Fishing Corner is brought to you by CUDA. Fierce. Tough. Proven. No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge. Pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and, only through this limited time offer, a Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna, a Coast LED headlamp, Fish Crisp Original, and a Team OFAH camouflage fishing bag with zippered pockets and three tackle boxes. Join or renew with this incredible OFAH membership package for only $69.95. Care enough to join today.
Visit OFAH.org.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com or give them a call toll-free at 1-800-567-9009.
With over 130 years of knife-making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Caster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876 and utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They prove themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus Knives. Stay sharper, longer.
Mike Miller here from Angler and Hunter Television. Aquatic invasive species and fish-killing diseases like VHS threaten the health of Lake Simcoe. By taking 2 minutes to clean, drain, and dry your boat every time you take it out of the water, you will help stop the spread of aquatic invasive species into Lake Simcoe and other water bodies in Ontario. For more information, contact the Invading Species Hotline at 1-800-563-7711 or visit invadingspecies.com. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program as part of the Operation Boat Clean Campaign.
Matsuo America, the brand of fishing tackle that provides tournament quality gear at a great value, has launched a groundbreaking new series of rod and reel combos called the Red Series. These great new combos feature IM6 graphite rods, Fuji guides, six ball bearing reels with anti-reverse, and cork split grip handles. It's a set of features you'd expect to see on a combo at twice the price. The Matsuo Red Series is available now only at Canadian Tire. Check it out today and upgrade your gear for this fishing season without breaking the bank.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Hunting Corner is brought to you by Camillus, quality knives since 1876.
Don't confuse me with being anything else other than proud. Proud to be a hunter. It's time we stopped apologizing for how we get our protein. This is who we are. Unless you're a small-time rancher, small-time farmer, a hunter, or fisherman, you really have no idea where your food comes from. Most people don't even think about it. Well, we think about it. Words as spoken by Donnie Vincent, keynote speaker at the 2016 OFAH Annual General Meeting and Conference.
Donnie, welcome to Angler Hunter Radio.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for having me, for sure.
Yeah, whatever got you inspired you to get into hunting?
Well, it's funny because I actually have a pretty kind of a unique story. Like most people that are hunters, they come from hunting families. I don't come from a hunting family. My father always owned guns and had wildlife prints around the house, things like that, which were kind of inspiring to me. But what really roped me in was my grandparents, his parents, purchased him a Outdoor Life book subscription. And most of these books were authored by Jack O'Connor and had beautiful illustrations in them. And so I just would go to the bookshelf, pull a book off, pour through it, and I'm actually going to go over it in my presentation tonight. But there's a book called The Big Game Animals of North America, and it's a big white old book, and it just, I wanted to chase the adventure that Jack wrote about. So it's just something that, since I was maybe 4, 5, 6, just absolutely this is what I was going to do with my life. I didn't think about a career. I just thought I wanted to chase adventure and be outside.
That's all you want to do. So I mean, easier said than done. You're a kid. You've got this magazine. You're looking at this really cool stuff that you want to take part in. What's the next step when you don't have somebody to mentor you? I mean, that's a great question for a lot of our youngsters out there.
Yeah, and I would do whatever it took. Like, it started out in the backyard, and I would explore any woods that I could around me and find anything wild to participate in, whether it was, I remember going to a little stream down by my house, and white suckers would come up and spawn in the stream, and I would go down there to watch little green herons fish, and then also water snakes would come and eat the fish, and so I'd literally sit down there and watch this. So that's kind of how my hunting began, was watching these other animals, and then I was born and raised in Connecticut.
Okay.
I moved out to Minnesota in 1990, and once I was out there, I just started doing any little adventures I could, whether it's fishing for smallmouth bass or hunting white-tailed deer or whatever. And then I started seeing, like all hunters and anglers do, I started seeing some really fantastic things. You know, you'd see an owl swoop down to try to catch a squirrel or a mouse or something. So I started bringing a video camera with me to try to catch some of this stuff to share it with family and friends. And that just started growing, and I started doing bigger trips, and even trips that I couldn't afford, like really expensive hunts, I would ask if I could go along with somebody and just carry their stuff or help carry their animal out. So then I'd fly up to Alaska and go on a sheep hunt, and I would just backpack in and film the whole thing, and one thing led to another, and people started really enjoying the work, and here we are.
More Donnie Vincent when we return after these words.
No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge, pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine, and only through this limited time offer, a Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna, a Coast LED headlamp, Fish Crisp Original, and a Team OFAH camouflage fishing bag with zippered pockets and three tackle boxes. Join or renew with this incredible OFAH membership package for only $69.95. Care enough to join today.
Visit OFAH.org. Invasive species are one of the greatest threats to the health of Ontario's ecosystems. The Invading Species Awareness Program provides outreach, education, and an avenue for the public to report sightings of invasive species online or using their mobile device through EdMaps Ontario. To learn more, visit eddmaps.org/Ontario. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com or give them a call toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
With over 130 years of knife-making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Kaster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876 and utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They prove themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus Knives. Stay sharper, longer.
Matsuo America, the brand of fishing tackle that provides tournament-quality gear at a great value, has launched a groundbreaking new series of rod and reel combos called the Red Series. These great new combos feature IM6 graphite rods, Fuji guides, six ball-bearing reels with anti-reverse, and cork-split grip handles. It's a set of features you'd expect to see on a combo at twice the price. The Matsuo Red Series is available now only at Canadian Tire. Check it out today and upgrade your gear for this fishing season without breaking the bank.
Welcome back to Angler and Hunter Radio. You're listening to my chat with Donnie Vincent.
Here we are.
And you know, one thing right away that I've noticed is different, that you're different from others is, you know, I watch hunting shows and fishing shows the same as everybody does. And nowadays, it seems to be getting more and more about, you know, who shoots the most geese or who has the biggest tires on their truck or who, you know, and all that type of thing. And that's fine. We're competitive by nature. But one thing I noticed that's a lot different about you is, you, first of all, you label yourself as a hunter conservationist as opposed to a hunting personality or TV star.
Yeah.
Where's the separation? How does that all come into play here? You look like a young guy who's probably just as competitive as the next one.
Yeah, and certainly am. Like, I want our work to be best in class or at least very good. And far more we chase, we think about the story a lot more than the grip and grin and the hoot and holler and celebrating. And, you know, I hold conservation and ecosystems and the animals and the places they live dear to my heart. So when we go and do a film there, we as very much want to celebrate the animals and where they live much more than celebrating me being in front of the camera. I'm literally there as a tertiary guest, and I'm literally there just to kind of give a voice to the film and say, you know, this is what I'm feeling right now. This is what's going on in my head. And I kept a lot of this stuff inside for years. I would hunt with friends of mine. It had a profound effect on me, but I would never tell anyone about it. I would just kind of bury it deep down inside. And then my editor, Kyle Nicolite, would say one day, he's just said, you know, you need to let these things out, man. Like, you really need to tell people what's going on in your head and just cut loose and be honest and be authentic and sincere. And I did. And people have just really responded to the work. So, you know, I'm not the guy that's going to chase a big blown up pickup truck and rock music, but I'm definitely the guy that's going to chase. When you're done watching our films, I want you to feel like you've went there, and I want you to feel like I hope you feel the same respect that I felt in being there.
That deeper feeling we all share share as hunters.
Absolutely.
So with that being said, you know obviously you're really gaining in popularity. It was a lot just to get you away from everybody to talk to you. But what's in the future for Donnie Vincent? I mean,
More films, like at least a film a year I'm going to try to produce. I'm starting to get a little hate mail from some of our fans saying, better come out with a new film here soon. We've launched two films so far, The Rivers Divide and Terra Nova, 3 days on the island.
Okay.
And we sell those off of our website, but we'll keep filming and keep producing more content. And then also I'm trying to do some stuff in mainstream TV, trying to bring the authenticity of what hunters, who hunters are, and what conservation is into a bigger TV platform. And that's always difficult, you know, in the day and age when everyone wants to know what Kim Kardashian's eating for cereal in the morning. So we're working on that, but it's being well received by some of the bigger channels, National Geographic and Discovery, things like that. So we'll just keep on trucking.
Nice. And in perpetuity, any young Donnie's coming up? Are you married? Or
I'm married and have a new son that was born November 28th. So it's really exciting, and also gives me a whole new element of how dangerous my job is. You know, so it's there's a little tit for tat. So
but an opportunity now to grow some legacy, maybe.
Sure. I hope he's into the outdoors, and I'm sure he will, because I celebrated. I'm sure he might not be a hunter, but I'm sure he's going to be. Into it and appreciate it, so. Yeah.
That's great. So how do our listeners find out more about Donnie Vincent?
Go to DonnieVincent.com, and they can also search me on Facebook and Instagram and off to the races.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being on Angler Hunter Radio, and all the best in your upcoming adventures.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Driven by nature, Donnie has consistently let the outdoors and his passion for adventure be the compass for his life. The wide open expanses of the world's most remote territories dominate his thoughts and conversations. Deep in the heart of the wildest of terrain is where Donnie thrives. On his expeditions into remote wilds, in the lands where seemingly no one lives, he finds a wilderness and peacefulness that is all his own. The premier example of explorer, biologist, conservationist, and sportsman, Donnie takes a wider view of topics he tackles while in the field, because to him, this is all a story worth telling. A story of ancestral heritage, native respect, and the desire to live strongly, empowering us all to open our minds to the bigger picture and inspiring us to find our own adventure. The Asian Carp Invasion, when we return with more Angler and Hunter Radio.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Hunting Corner is brought to you by Camillus, quality knives since 1876.
No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge, pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
With over 130 years of knife-making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Kaster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876, and he utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They proved themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus Knives. Stay sharper, longer.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com. Or give them a call, toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
Did you know that the seeds of invasive plants can easily be transported to new areas in mud on the tires of all-terrain vehicles?
help to stop the spread of invasive plants by staying on designated trails and cleaning mud and debris from the tires of your ATV between trips. For more information, contact the Invading Species Hotline at 1-800-563-7711 or visit invadingspecies.com. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
Matsuo America, the brand of fishing tackle that provides tournament quality gear at a great value, has launched a groundbreaking new series of rod and reel combos called the Red Series. These great new combos feature IM6 graphite rods, Fuji guides, 6 ball bearing reels with anti-reverse, and cork split grip handles. It's a set of features you'd expect to see on a combo at twice the price. The Matsuo Red Series is available now only at Canadian Tire. Check it out today and upgrade your gear for this fishing season without breaking the bank.
Welcome back to Angler and Hunter Radio. Asian carps were brought from Asia to North America in the 1960s and 70s. Since then, they have migrated north through U.S. waterways towards the Great Lakes. Preventing Asian carps from spreading into the Great Lakes is the best way to prevent harm to Ontario's native fish species. Joining us now from the Asian Carp Traveling Crew, Maria and Tessa, how are you doing today?
Pretty good, thank you.
Good. This sounds like a very, very important job. I think most of our listeners now have been informed about Asian carp. But just to start everything off, for maybe some people who aren't quite up on this type of thing, could you tell our listeners, maybe we'll start with Maria, native, non-native, alien, and invasive species, like what's the difference between all of this stuff? What's invasive, what's alien, what's non-invasive?
Yeah, so alien or non-native species are any that are introduced to a new range, but maybe they don't do any harm to that new range. Invasive species are those that are alien, but they negatively affect our environment, economy, or our health.
Okay, so we obviously have some species here that we've introduced. Maybe I could use Pacific salmon as an example that haven't had a negative impact on the waterways. But then we've got invasive ones like the Asian carp. Recently on the news, there's been some talk about them finding grass carp. So there's obviously different types of carp, and I guess they have different impacts on the environment. So maybe, Tessa, could you give us a rundown on the type of carp, these invasive carp, and just a little bit of a description on them?
Yeah, of course. So there's 4 species of these carps. There's the bighead carp, the silver carp, the grass carp, and the black carp. So just to give you an idea of how to identify them. So the bighead carp, it has a solid gray body with dark blotches. It has no barbels and has no scales on the head. Its eyes also sit below its mouth. The silver carp is silver in color, has a small mouth without barbels, no scales on the head, and is silver in color with small scales, and its eyes also sit below the mouth. So the bighead carp and the silver carp are very similar because of the eyes. The grass carp also does not have any barbels, has no scales on the head, but is silver to olive brown in color with a crosshatch scale pattern. And its eyes is even with the mouth. The black carp also doesn't have any barbels and no scales on its head, but is dark all over. Also, the eyes are in line with its mouth, so similar to the grass carp.
So it's quite obvious to me, and obviously I've never seen these carp before. They're unusual looking. Their eyes are below their mouth. That's obviously unusual looking. And from what I hear, they grow to huge sizes, like in excess of 80 pounds. So if you're ever out fishing and you see something like this, we're going to give you an idea of what you need to do to report it. As of now, we're pretty good in Ontario, and we're trying to avoid them from getting here. Different ways they get here, well, they get transported over the border as, you know, for eating fish. Some of them may be able to find their way through waterways, and we're the government and the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters are working on different ways to stop this from happening. So if they were to get into our Great Lakes, let's talk specifically Lake Ontario here, ecological, economic, and social consequences, I mean, maybe you could start off with this one, Maria. What could happen if these fish get into these waterways?
So the consequences would be drastic. They're very big fish. They grow very fast. They're very adaptive and very aggressive in their feeding habits. Some of them can eat up to 20% of their body weight a day in food. They grow very quickly, and as you said, they can get very big, up to 40 kilograms. The big head and the silver carp eat a lot of plankton, so food that our native fish eats. The grass carp eats a lot of vegetation. And also, the silver carp especially are very scary because they actually jump out of the water when they're startled. So vibrations in the water scare them, and they start jumping out of the water, and they can jump up to 3 meters high. And when they do that, they've hurt people in the past in the United States. So silver carp jumping out of the water would affect our recreational activities such as boating and water skiing.
Okay, and you know what? I have spent some time in the United States, and Hickory, Old Hickory Lake's one that comes to mind, and the lake next door to it, which is Kentucky. The entire ecosystem was undermined by Asian carp, and the bass and walleye populations dropped to nil because they actually eat that plankton, and that's the bottom of the chain. That's what kind of makes the whole lake alive. So some pretty nasty stuff if they do get into our waters. Any ideas or any kind of a reports on where they are now? Like, do they have obviously no established populations in Canada, but they're getting pretty close?
So for now, they're established in the United States. They're in the Mississippi, making their way towards Lake Michigan. But the U.S. government did put up electric barriers in the Mississippi to prevent them from getting into Lake Michigan, because from there they could get into the rest of the Great Lakes.
So and obviously there's some partnerships going on here. Our government, the U.S. government, Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters is huge into this. We'll go to Tessa for this question. What are the governments doing, like physically? What are they doing to prevent these fish from getting into our Great Lakes?
Well, as we mentioned before, the U.S. government has put up the electric barriers to prevent them from getting to Lake Michigan. And also, the governments are creating programs that provide outreach to the public. So we can educate the public and help them identify the Asian carp. So if they do see it, they can report it. But you just have to be very careful that it isn't the common carp that you're seeing, because the common carp does look like the other four Asian carps. The common carp has barbels and also a long dorsal fin. That's how you can identify it and differentiate from the other four Asian carps.
Right. And I know from some of my previous interviews, in Chicago, the shipping canal has three electric fence barriers, also some monitoring with eDNA, which is pretty cool stuff. They can actually tell what's in the lake just by taking water samples and looking at the DNA. Obviously, OFAH and the Invasive Species Awareness Program are also spreading awareness, like you were saying. So, above and beyond identification, what can the public do, Maria? What can we all do individually to help this along?
So don't dump your bait into the water. It's actually legal to dump your bait within 30 meters of any lakes or ponds or rivers. You should dump it into the garbage, or in order to save it, you could freeze it or salt it and use it on a later trip. If you are using live bait, make sure you check your bait to see if you have any invasive species in your bait bucket. And learn to identify the Asian carp and report them. You can go on EdMaps Ontario, the app or the website, or you can call our hotline for the Invading Species Awareness Program. And don't import live fish into Ontario.
Okay, so importation of fish is obviously something that that would contribute to this, something that we don't want to do. If you have any information about illegal importing, distribution, or sale of live Asian carps, you want to make sure you report that too. You know what? Maybe you know of that type of thing. It's important that you let the powers that be know about it. Now, Asian carp traveling crew. Obviously, Tessa and Maria, you are a traveling Asian carp crew. Sounds very exciting. Get to travel around in Ontario with a, you've got the car with the, it doesn't have it has no barbels on it, right?
No.
So maybe we'll get Tessa to give the listeners a little bit of an idea of what your role is as the Asian carp traveling crew.
Yeah, so Marie and I are going around to different events throughout Southern Ontario to educate the public about Asian carps and also other invasive species as well. So we're having a lot of fun. We've been going to a lot of derbies, waterfront festivals, outdoor stores, and marinas. We have a lot of educational activities and information brochures about Asian carps and also the other invasive species as well.
And what's your big events coming up that our listeners can go and check out?
We're actually going to the CNE at the end of August. We're going to be there for a few days throughout the event.
I mean, as part of going to the CNE, you obviously have to do all this awareness on Asian carp. And what a great place. It's right on Lake Ontario waterfront. But are they going to let you go on the rides and stuff too? Maybe not.
Eh? I doubt it. Maybe but that's okay.
Okay. And you know what? For those listeners who want some information here, you want to report them immediately to the MNRF tips line. You can also call 1-877-TIPS-MNR, which is 847-7667. Call the invading species hotline at 1-800-563-7711. Or go to EdMaps Ontario. In fact, you know what? OFAH.org is also a great place to get started. Thank you so much for giving us some information. We'll look for you at the CNE.
Yeah, thank you.
And help keep these Asian carp out of our Great Lakes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And now for an Asian carp competition. So joining me now is Tisha Tan from the University of Toronto. Tisha, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Randy. Thanks.
So we obviously have a problem with these Asian carp. Obviously in Ontario here, not so much yet, but south of the border they do. And we're always looking for new and innovative solutions to, you know, keeping them away or once they're here, getting rid of them. And there was recently a competition from what I know, and you were involved in this. What can you tell us about this?
Oh, the competition in general was run by the Invasive Species Center, and what they were looking for were innovative ideas, as you said, to block the Asian carp from coming into Canada or dealing with their populations if they ever were to establish. And so it was 14 university teams competing for cash prizes and bragging rights.
Okay.
With kind of the most innovative, exciting ideas that they could. And there were representatives from the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry, the Department of Fisheries and Oceans Canada, and some other universities and professionals as well who are present to listen to our ideas.
So a competition of science, so to speak.
Exactly, yeah.
And your team came out triumphant.
Yes, I know. We were so surprised when we found out we won.
Well, that's awesome. So are you allowed to divulge what your the reasons or what it was that you submitted that got you the title?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So basically what our idea was we looked into recent scientific studies, and we found one that stated that carbonated water at certain concentrations was enough to sort of act as a non-physical barrier, and that Asian carp would actively try to avoid carbonated water. And these concentrations that we're talking about are actually less than what you would find in a can of pop. So really relatively harmless levels of carbon dioxide was enough to stop both the adults and the juveniles from passing into a certain area. The risk assessment that was done by the Department of Fisheries and Oceans Canada sort of identified the Chicago area waterway system, specifically the shipping and sanitary canal that's in that system, as kind of the major connection between the Mississippi Basin and the Great Lakes. And that was kind of the most highest risk for bringing carp in. And so we proposed carbonating a 6-kilometer section of that canal to sort of act with the electric barriers that are already present.
Okay.
And, use that to sort of block the carp from passing through.
So you would actually just take carbon dioxide and pump it into the water?
Exactly. So carbon dioxide itself is really, really cheap, especially if you buy it in huge amounts. So we were just thinking of installing pipes along the bottom of the canal, and then we were also thinking alongside supplementing those pipes with carbon dioxide that we would purchase, we could also install some sort of atmospheric carbon dioxide recycler that would actually take carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere and recycle that carbon dioxide back into our system. So it kind of becomes a little self-sustaining, which is great because we want everything to be green.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? This is important stuff. And for for listeners out there who aren't aware of these invasive species, they really can undermine and destroy an ecosystem when they enter it. And we've got some young minds here at the University of Toronto who are looking for some solutions on how to stop them from getting into the Great Lakes. So with that being said, what kind of rewards did you get for this idea that you put forward?
Yeah, sure. So we basically got $3,000 cash for the first place team, some certificates. It was really great. The Minister of Fisheries and Oceans actually sent us a letter saying, you know, thank you for contributing your innovative ideas. So that was really cool. And just being able to share our ideas with those professionals and the actual members of the teams who are looking into protecting the Great Lakes, just being able to share those ideas with them was really special to us.
That's really cool. So moving forward now, first of all, is this something that's going to be continued on? Are you kind of passing the torch, or is it something that you're going to continue to be involved with?
Well, not that I've heard of personally that our team would be getting involved with, but the study that we based our idea on was actually done by researchers at, I believe, the University of Wisconsin. And so they're kind of using that idea, and they sort of had a similar idea to us, and that maybe carbonating certain pathways or connections might be a way to stop the Asian carp invasion from spreading. And so I think a group at the U.S. Corps of Engineers is working with that team from the University of Wisconsin to bring that to light in the U.S. But I don't know personally if Canada is being involved in those discussions as yet.
Interesting. And as far as, you know, you're concerned or any member of your team, has this work inspired any of you, you know, in career paths or in future work?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Everyone in my team we were all doing a master's of environmental science at U of T. And as of right now, we're all on sort of different internships for the summer, working with species at risk or invasive species or, you know, what have you, with different organizations, Parks Canada, Environment Canada, the zoo, Toronto Zoo, and everything like that. So we've all carried this sort of experience with us, and we want to help with, you know, local ecology and everything in the future as much as we can. So this is really cool for us.
That's awesome. Well, it's a great story, and it's nice to see that people at all levels are helping out with the identification, the extirpation, and avoidance of these invasive species from getting into our habitat, into our ecosystems here in Ontario. Anybody you'd like to thank?
Yeah, of course. A big shout out to our professor at U of T, Dr. Nick Mandrak. They're actually, as a result of us winning the competition, we'll be looking at alternative barriers to stop Asian carp as well. So his lab is working on that at U of T, and he was the one who led us into this competition and really, supported us and helped us through it. And just all the administrators and staff and our classmates in the program as well. The U of T Masters of Environmental Science program was really, really eye-opening for all of us, and we learned a great deal, and we applied all that knowledge into our solution. So everyone's been really supportive.
Great. That's awesome, Tisha. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us today and letting us know what they're doing down at the U of T to help keep Asian carp out of our waterways.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
The Angler and Hunter Radio Show has been brought to you by Yamaha. What kind of Yamaha are you? Angler and Hunter Radio is a production of the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. Please send your tall tales and comments to ahradio.ca.
Don't forget, you can check out past episodes of Angler and Hunter Radio on the web or at wrvo.com. As of July 2nd, there may be work stoppages at Canada Post, so delays in your postal service may occur. to avoid OFAH membership and its benefits from lapsing, please reach out to us at 705-748-6324 or ofah.org.